thank you for our Sunday school and that there's children in our Sunday school, in our church. We thank you for those who serve. Lord God, we're asking you now to speak a word for us, a word of hope, a word of love, and a word of peace. Speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to come. Come and be among us. Come with all of your quickening power so that your coming will not be in vain and we may be revived and filled again because we have been here and you are among us. We thank you now, Lord God, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And it's good to be here. It's a good day to be alive and well and to see the young children and to do the work of the Lord and to be able to fellowship together and to know that God still reigns. Because I know that my Redeemer lives. And when we are in a world full of trouble, we must be reminded that our Redeemer lives. The song I have not sung this song since I've been here, Greater Than Grace, Greater Than Sin. I don't think I've ever done this song here. And what a beautiful song, and I know this song. And then I saw it in the worship book, and then we sang it today, and what marvelous words. And the refrain says, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. There is no sin we can commit that grace will not cover. The third verse says, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace. Grace is the favor shown by God to all sinners. Grace is the favor. That's a simple definition of grace. Grace is a favor shown by God to all sinners. And a more complex definition is grace in Christian belief is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Grace, the unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. You see, friends, it is all about God's grace, God's amazing grace. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. For the grace of God, when you hear folks say, well, I found Jesus, I was in sin, I was not doing what I was supposed to do, and I found Jesus. One wants to correct him and says, no, you didn't find Jesus. It is by God's grace. Jesus isn't lost. Jesus knows his way. It is by God's grace that you are saved. And so my sermon title today is The Case for Grace. Do you know that there's a case for grace? To defend grace. Martin Luther would know that. John Wesley would know that, and he would talk so much about grace as being, you know, justifying grace and prevenient grace, grace that comes before. John Wesley says, grace that comes at the very moment we are born, that grace that comes because we don't know any right from wrong, and he calls that prevenient grace. And as these kids say yes to Jesus today, they will be saying yes for themselves. We call that justifying grace. They are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. By believing in him, they are justified by his grace. And then those of us who have said yes a long time and we fall short up and down, we are under sanctification. It is called sanctifying grace. That grace that continues until the day we leave this earth. That grace of God, when we sin and we ask for forgiveness, that grace of God that brings us back into right relationship with God, sanctifying grace. I'm under sanctifying grace, church. You're under sanctifying grace. You should say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We are under sanctifying grace. Without His amazing sanctifying grace, we would be dead in our sin. We are under sanctifying grace. You see, the scripture says, I heard a preacher say, it might have been Charles Wesley, not Charles Wesley because he's gone home. Charles Stanley, he's gone home. If he's talking to me, I'm in trouble. But anyway, you know, Charles Stanley said that when he was growing up in Tennessee, in that area, there'd be preachers who would kind of beat you over the head and, you know, and say, you know, if you sin, you're going to go to hell if you sin. And those were people who had already accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were in the church. They believed God. And he says he was, as a boy, he was so afraid because he thought, Lord, I'm never getting to heaven because I thought I sinned today. He would be so scared. But we are reminded by the text, Paul will say it, that once you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He will never lose you. Your salvation is not taken away. Yes, you could sin, and you have to ask for forgiveness, and you bear the consequences of it. The consequences are not taken away, but God's grace protects your salvation forever and ever and ever once you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Right? And so today we're going to see in the three little stories, three little snippets that I have given you, God's amazing grace. The first one is the New Old Testament text. We will see Hagar. Hagar was what? Hagar was an outcast. God did not come at that point, send Abraham, and would choose Abraham and Sarah and not Hagar. She was an outcast. And she happened to be property. And Sarah would take her and give her to her husband. And what would happen is, there she was. She was, after the baby was born, they would send her out into the desert all by herself. And she was in the desert with her boy. And when she was in the desert, they were got so hungry and so thirsty, they had nothing to drink. But God's amazing grace, even though she was an outcast, even though she was not part of the children of Israel, even though she was not one of the called ones, God's amazing grace would see her tears in that desert. The Bible tells us that she was under a tree. And He says when the water in the skin was gone, they had given her water and sent her out. She cast the child under one of the bushes. And then she went and sat down opposite him. And she said, do not let me look on the death of my child. She thought they were going to die. And she did not pray to God. She was there just sitting. And the Bible says, and as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and she wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said, what troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of your boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast in your hand, and I will make him a great nation. And then God would provide water for her in the desert. She had been an outcast, and God would still provide. How much more God is going to provide for us? His amazing grace is going to provide for us who believes in Him. I heard Lee Strobel, who has written a book, a few books on grace, said he heard a story, a true story, and he knows the woman. This young woman who had been Korean, she had been biracial. And after the war in Korea, all the biracial children, you know, they were not welcomed, right? Whether their parent father had been black or white, if they were not pure Koreans, they were not welcome. And this one child, just to give you what grace would look like, because their hair would be different, their skin, they'd be lighter, some of them a little bit darker. And some of the mothers would literally abort their children because they were petrified, they were such an outcast. And this one little girl, this mother kept her child. And she kept the child because she couldn't do better, she couldn't get rid of her. And the child became 4 years old, and she was able to, and she had a Korean man who wanted to marry her. She was a Korean woman. And she decided to give this little girl to an orphanage. Terrible, or put her out on the street, on the streets. And this little girl suffered and suffered so badly. So badly she would eat rats and mice. And then someone picked her up and put her in an orphanage. There was a Swiss nurse who said God literally sent her to this place, and they found this girl along with many of the other ones on a rubble heap and took her to this orphanage. And the orphanage was not a good place. And this little girl was there. And she was filled with ringworms and lice and all of that. But it was better than being on the street. And then one day a couple came from America. A husband and wife came. And they were looking for children. But they normally want the young ones, infants. Infants. And part of her work there was to bathe the infants. But that day, as she was standing there, knowing that no one wanted her, that she noticed a man looking at her through the corner of his eyes. And then he came over to her, and he touched her face. And when he touched her face, she slapped his hand away because she had never been loved like this. She had never felt anybody wanted her or needed her. And she slapped him so hard, he walked away, him and his wife. But the next day, he came back, and he would choose her. Choose her, cleaned her up, brought her to America, and that girl grew up to be a great Christian and a mother in this country. This is God's grace. This is what grace looks like. Even when we reject God, even when we are in our mess and we reject God, God's amazing grace will come back again and again and again for us, never rejecting us. Even when we don't call on God, God's amazing grace. Jesus would say in the gospel today, he said, listen, if a little sparrow don't do much, in essence, he's saying, this is a case for grace part two. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? They're not worth much. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father, and even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than the sparrows. You and me are more value than the sparrows to God, and God's grace extends to us. Everyone therefore acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. So we are reminded by Jesus that God's grace extends to us who believe. That no matter what, he is going to take care of us. He's going to watch over us. He's going to love us. God's grace. But Paul, the case for grace, as I come down, Paul says, is it because of grace? Because we know that we have grace that we should sin? Is it because we know that we have grace that we should keep doing the same thing over, I don't want to forget the scripture, over and over again? Paul is going to say, by no means. You see, we read in Ephesians, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not that this is not from yourselves. This is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Our God's grace for us is not by works, so that we can boast. You don't work hard enough to get God's grace. I don't work hard enough to get God's grace. We know that we have to work when we're saved by grace, but we can't work for grace. It is freely given. The prostitute who accepts Christ one night, had never been in church all day long, and gets the same grace like me who have been in church all long time in my white gown. The drug addict who is in a drug house, and the young person who's taking drugs and one day says, Lord, forgive me, help me, Lord, gets the same grace as I get. The same amount of God's unmerited favor given to everyone. Sometimes we want to think because we may look holy and I may wear a big cross, I'm getting any more grace than you. No, I'm not getting any more grace. I'm getting the same amount of grace freely given to everyone. But Paul says, once we know we have that grace, should we keep sinning? Should we keep doing the same thing? Let me give you a quick story on what Paul is saying there. If you have a kid and the kid goes to the store and the kid steals, right? And the kid comes home and takes some candy or whatever they take from the store. And you say, I'm going to forgive you. They ask for forgiveness. Don't do this again. Right? And they says, oh, mom or dad, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do this again. I know it's wrong. I will not do it. Then they go back, they didn't get caught, you forgive them. Next month they go back and they take something else. They come back, Mom and Dad, I'm so sorry, you know. The storekeeper calls up, so sorry, you forgive them again. And they say, I won't do it. And you forgive them. The third time, they go back and they steal. And this time the police arrested them. And they have to go to jail. They ask the parents for forgiveness. They're forgiven, but the consequences are now greater. Do you see what I'm saying? The consequences of that sin is greater. Doesn't mean that God doesn't forgive each time we ask for forgiveness. And that's what Paul is trying to remind the church, because Paul had just said earlier that it's not by works, but it's by grace. But he says, not because you know that God's grace is everlasting, that you should keep doing the same wrong thing over and over again. Don't push God. Don't mess with God. Do you know what I'm saying? Because God will make you bear the consequences. Many folks who get mad at God, it's not because God don't love them and God's grace doesn't extend to them. It's because they push God. And God says, enough already. You know, God says that sometimes. Enough already. Sounds like I'm an Italian. Enough already. Right? God's grace, and then the consequences, one will have to bear the consequences. Not because God stopped loving you. We can't do anything for God to stop loving us. He's full of love, an abundance of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But we should not think it's cheap grace. Because God's grace is what would let Jesus Christ die on a cross for us. God's grace would take his only son and let him shed his blood. Each time I think of that makes me want to cry, that he would love me so much. Each and every one of us, you have to accept that for yourself. Love us so much that he would send Jesus Christ to die for each of us who would believe, to suffer and die on the cross because of his amazing grace. John Newton would say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I see. Oh, come on now, church. It was grace that brought me thus far. And grace will bring me home. Grace, God, amazing grace. We cannot buy it. We don't deserve it. It's freely given. It's unmerited favor. And so if you don't know God's grace today, if you don't know it exists, I'm telling you it does. Does for you and for me, for each and every one of us. And it always does. And the only one who could mess up God's grace, who could mess up his grace in our life is us. And even when we mess it up, all we have got to do is say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive me. So Paul reminds us today that we take on Christ. We must be what? Put down sin. Be dead in sin. Stop doing the things that are wrong. Nobody wants to use the word sin anymore, but it's still in the dictionary. Sin just means things we do out of the will of God. Because God's amazing grace will bring us home. John Newton knew that. Martin Luther knew that. He used to beat himself into submission, trying to beat himself into submission. The great theologian and priest trying to beat when he did something wrong, if he thought something wrong, he would try to, you know, flag himself and try. Then one day he read the book of Romans and he realized it was by God's grace that no thought he could have would be so bad that God wouldn't forgive him. By God's grace. I'm so glad for God's grace. Because if it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't be standing here before you. God's grace has washed away my stuff. And the stuff that I may yet do, there is grace. I try not to keep doing the same thing. Because as I tell you, I don't want to mess with God. Because I'm afraid of God. I love him, but I know his power. But God's grace. God's when you look at me, you see God's amazing grace in work. A little black kid from the Caribbean. God's grace would open up doors that I would not imagine. God's grace would do great things in each of our lives. And so, church, today, we rejoice in knowing that God's amazing grace is eternal and everlasting.
Amen.